Hello everyone, welcome to the European Hoops Podcast. We are a Sports Ethos presentation and we bring you all the coverage you need of the EuroLeague. Twice a week, every Monday and Wednesday, we preview, recap all the action surrounding the competition. My name is Andre, and on this episode, I will cover all the action of EuroLeague Round 24, from the tip-off in Berlin to Christian's game-winning buzzer-beater shot in Athens. I would like to remind you all of the tragedy assaulting Turkey and Syria. That was the reason why the games between Efes and Real Madrid and the Fenerbahce-Milano game were suspended this week. At the moment of the recording of this podcast, there is no information about when they will happen. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at E2EuroLeague. We will keep you up to date with any news that come out. In this moment, we keep our thoughts with everyone affected, and if you can, we urge you to contribute to those that were affected. There are several ways to do it. One that we recommend is Shane Larkin's Foundation, that is directing any donations to those that were affected by the earthquake. On our last episode, we started the preview of this round with the news coming from Tel Aviv, where Maccabi had extended the contract of Sorkin. This time around, they renewed with Lorenzo Brown, and they signed him until the season 25-26. Maccabi has been performing at a very high level this season, and we can note a trend of continuity with this team. They are looking for to build up on the momentum that they currently have. Lorenzo Brown is a 1m96, 6'5 point guard. He is so far this season the best player for Maccabi with a 17 PER. He's averaging 16.6 points and 6 assists in 31 minutes per game. Lorenzo is a leader for this team. He has an excellent passing ability and he's a high level decision maker. This is his fourth season on the EuroLeague and his first playing for Maccabi. He spent 5 seasons in the NBA where he played for Sixers, Timberwolves, Suns and Raptors. Keeping Brown until 25-26 will allow Maccabi to keep building on the high-level performance they are having, and they certainly aim to get to the higher levels of the competition, looking to return to the Final Four, where they were for the last time in 2014, where they beat Real Madrid on the final, becoming champions of that edition of the competition. But let's focus on the present and recap the action of Round 24. The lone game of Wednesday and the first game of this round happened in Berlin, where the local team Alba welcomed the red-hot Olympiacos. It was a match of first against last, and it was without surprise that Olympiacos got the 33-point road win. For the home team, Eriksson and Lowe missed the game, while Slokas, Peters and Pappas weren't available for the visitors. The MVP of this game was Sasha Vezenkov with impressive 40 PER. He scored 28 points, grabbed 13 rebounds, and was able to add one assist and one steal. He had on Walkup his usual partner in crime with 15 points, one rebound, and 10 assists. Olind was the best for Alba with 16 points and one rebound. Vezenkov keeps building his MVP case. He currently leads all players in the EuroLeague with a PER of 23.5, 3.4 points ahead of Lasort and 4.5 points ahead of Misic. He leads the league in rebounds with 7.4. He is the second best scorer with 18.4 points per game, trailing only to Dwayne Bacon that averages 18.7. He is at the moment, in my opinion, the top contender to become Nikola Mirotić's successor as MVP of the EuroLeague. His NBA rights belong to the Sacramento Kings, and last summer he almost moved into the NBA. Luckily for the EuroLeague and for all of us, we are still able to watch him perform every night. But the 25-year-old power forward from Bulgaria is showing that he is ready to give the jump and contribute at any level of basketball. He is the perfect star for this Olympiacos team, where his unselfish game style matches the team ball movement game plan, looking constantly to find easy shots and destroying any defensive plan that their opponents throw at them. While defense isn't the calling card for Vezenkov, he's a high IQ player and he's able to perform team defense at a very high level. But Olympiacos is way more than their star. Olympiacos is a well-oiled machine with several pieces contributing game after game. A great example of that is the 30-year-old American guard Thomas Walkup. He's an elite defensive guard that leads the EuroLeague in steals with 1.9 per game. He is on his fifth season in the EuroLeague, and after playing three seasons in Kaunas for Žalgiris, this is his second season representing the Olympiacos colors. Since the competition assist leader Slokas is out with an injury, Walkup step up to the moment, and this game was an example of that with 10 assists. On the team last four games, he's averaging 8.5 assists, 3 above his season average of 5.5. The game itself didn't have much history. Olympiacos was up 15 points at the end of the first quarter. Alba was able to compete on the second quarter, going into the halftime down 10 points. But Olympiacos went right back into their dominating mode the rest of the game and got the easy win. Alba is now on their 6th consecutive loss, and their offense really misses low. Olympiacos, on the other hand, won their last 6 games and leads the competition with 17 wins and 7 losses. Olympiacos' next game against Valencia on the road should be a good challenge for the leaders. Olympiacos is not only dominating the competition, but they are also one of the more pleasant teams to watch. Their game style makes the game easier for them, but a nightmare for their opponents. But I wonder, how good can they be on the postseason? Are they a Final Four contending team? For sure they are. Can they win it all? I'm certainly that they can. But down the stretch of games, they can struggle to find their go-to player. Cannon and McKinsey can do it, but sometimes they lack the consistency when doing it. Especially when we compare them to other players like Mike James, Larkin, Wibbleking, Clyburn. In all their games with a 4 points or less difference this season, they won 3 and lost 4 of them. This is a clear indication of exactly their issues finding their go-to man and performing on the clutch time. They will continue to perform at this level and giving us all great basketball to watch. But when the time comes, this is what I will be looking at. But I am also certain that with players of the level that Olympiacos has, with a coach like Prasdokas, they will certainly find solutions to be highly competitive. Highly competitive is also the perfect description for our next game, where in Tel Aviv, Red Star was able to become the second team in this edition of the competition to beat Maccabi at home. The final score of the game was 86-89. Poitras, Austin Hollins and Lorenzo Brown were out for the home team, but we expect Lorenzo Brown to be able to return to the team next game on February 23rd against Bayern in Tel Aviv. For the Red Star, Asan Martin was active but didn't play it, while Campazzo will have to sit out one more game before the team is allowed to register him. This was a huge road win for Red Star. The win was built in both sides of the court in a team effort. The visitors got 14 offensive rebounds in this game. Those are one of the big keys for them to get this win. Red Star dominated the second and third quarters, where they scored 51 points, only allowing 37. But with 31 points in the fourth, Maccabi was able to come back into the game, and with only 5 seconds left on the clock, Maccabi was only 1 point behind after Di Bartolomeo converting the 2 free throws. But Vildoza closed the game for the road team, converting the last 2 free throws of the game and giving the Red Star a 3-point win. Wade Baldwin, that ended the game with 38 points, a career high for him, almost sent the game into overtime with a 3-point attempt from half court. But the Red Star will to stay in the playoff fight was too strong. In this game, we had 2 guards going at each other. Nedovic got the win and the MVP distinction with 28 points, 1 rebound, 2 assists and 1 steal. Baldwin was the best for the home team, with 38 points, 5 rebounds and 5 assists. Baldwin has been performing at a very high level, and Maccabi backcourt with him and Lorenzo Brown is in contention to one of the best in the EuroLeague. But let's leave that debate for another episode, because we still have 5 games to recap on this one. Maccabi, with this loss, fell into 10th place, and having Efes 1 win behind them, but also with 1 game less. Maccabi is now 1 win behind the 4-team tie for 6-9 places, headed by Partizan with Baskonia, Valencia and Zalgiris, all fighting for the last 3 playoff spots. Red Star kept their playoff aspirations alive with this win, and they broke the 5-game losing streak they were on. They are now in 13th place, tied with Vitus at 12th and 1 game behind Maccabi. In the end of the game, Nedovic said, "We don't know how to win a regular game. We always need drama." Well, Coach Ivanovic pointed out that we played good 35 minutes, our defense was good. We could tell that this was a very satisfied Red Star team that got a much needed win, and we did some extra motivation, despite allowing Maccabi to get close in the end. As I just mentioned, Virtus is tied with Red Star on the standings. They missed the chance to catch up Maccabi on their reception of Barcelona. They lost 75-92. This was a revenge game for Barcelona after previously losing at home by 8 points against Virtus. Lundberg returned for Virtus and he was their best player on this game. He scored 13 points and added 3 rebounds, 3 assists and 1 steal. But the MVP of this game was Nikola Mirotic, with 70 points, 3 rebounds and 4 assists. Abrinis also had a good performance with 16 points and 3 rebounds. If the 18-point win seems a large one, it doesn't tell half of the story of the game. Barcelona went into the fourth quarter with a 35-point lead and took a 36 fourth quarter effort by Virtus to reduce the difference in this game to 18. Barcelona built this win based on an elite defensive effort, but coach Sharun Zjacikevic pointed out that the team needs to be consistent and that doing it for only three quarters isn't enough to win at the highest level. This ended up being an easy win for Barcelona. They keep fighting for home court advantage and they are currently in third place. They are tied in wins with Real Madrid, but Real Madrid has one game less and they are one game ahead of Monaco and two games ahead of Fenerbahce that is currently in fifth place. Barcelona should be one of the top teams heading into the playoffs, having a real chance to be part of the Final Four and one of the top contenders of this edition of the EuroLeague. Moving on to the next game, where Bayern received the hottest team in the competition, Partizan. Partizan is currently the hottest team inside and outside the court. The scenes of their supporters in Munich were another example of one of the greatest fan bases in the EuroLeague. Lasort in the end of the game pointed out how amazing it was and said that despite the game being on the road, it felt like it was a home one. The game ended 71-82, and as I mentioned before on the pod, Partizan is now sixth. They kept building their good momentum with their fourth consecutive win. They have also won 9 out of their last 11 games. And after starting the season with 4 wins and 9 losses, it is impressive to see the growth of this team during the season. To make it even more impressive, this win was achieved with several Partizan players playing sick, dealing with a flu outbreak within the team. It was on the second and third quarters that Partizan took over the game, only allowing 26 points and scoring 41. Gillespie was the best player for the home team with 6 points, 8 rebounds, 1 assist and impressive 4 blocks. The best for the winners and the MVP of the game was Panther. He scored 19 points and Lasort scored 16 points and grabbed 7 rebounds. Partizan plays a very physical style of basketball and despite being a very young team, they kept proving game after game that they belong in the EuroLeague. Another two teams that certainly also belong in the EuroLeague are Žalgiris and Baskonia. They face each other in Kaunas, where the home team got the extremely important win 79-75. This win broke their three-game losing streak, allowing them to catch Baskonia in the standings and distancing themselves from Maccabi. Baskonia is one of the most exciting offensive teams in this edition of the EuroLeague, leading the league in points scored per game with 85.4. For our many American listeners, a reminder that EuroLeague game has only 40 minutes, and not only that, but it's also a way more physical game and has less space, making it harder for the teams to have higher scores. With Baskonia being the highest scoring team per game in the competition, holding them to 75 points wasn't an easy task for Žalgiris. Žalgiris was able to achieve that in great part by taking away their transition game. Not only that, but they only allowed Baskonia 25 three-point attempts, what is considerably under their 33 attempts per game that they had this season until this last game. On an interesting tactical move, Žalgiris opted to bring Brazdeikis off the bench, and they also didn't close the game with him. Despite it, he managed to be the team third best scorer in this game with 15 points in 23 minutes, and he was an important piece in this Žalgiris win. The MVP of the game was Ulanovas, the Žalgiris team captain, once again stepped up when the team needed him the most. He scored 16 points and added 4 rebounds, 5 assists and 1 steal in another great performance and again being extremely important for the team's success on clutch time. The Latvian Roland Schmitz bounced back and was more involved in the game in comparison to the team previous ones, having a grand performance and being one of the keys for this win. He scored 20 points. As we had previously spoken, he's a player that works very well on the flow of the offense and he can be very effective. He's a very enticing player to watch and it was hard to see the team in the last games and in their losses opting to go into ISO plays over and over again instead of a more team approach to their offense. In this game, they were able to achieve that and that helped them to conquer this win. And Schmitz was a big part of it. Giedritis was the best for the visitors with 11 points, 6 rebounds and 2 assists. In our opinion, late in the game, the coach kept him on the bench for too long and that contributed for Baskonia not being able to come back in this game. Obviously, the merit is for the victors and it goes for Žalgiris. With these two teams tied in the standings, we can expect both fighting until the last rounds of this EuroLeague for a place in the playoffs. Good news for the team from Kaunas that can expect Isaiah Taylor to return for their next game, giving them a much-needed boost. Who also needed a boost were Monaco and Asvel defenses. The two teams met in Monaco to play the French Classic, with the home team winning 87-75. In the end of the first half of this game, we had both teams complaining exactly about the same thing, their defensive performance. At the half, Monaco had scored 50 points and Asvel 40 in good offensive efforts, but without any of the teams being able to compete defensively. Monaco was a bit apathetic on the first half of this game, and it took them three quarters to really get into the game. They are an elite team offensively, and they are able to compete with any team in a shootout. And if their offensive performance aren't a surprise, shout out for Asvel for being able to keep it up and put up a very good offensive first half, and really for the first three quarters of the game. They were actually able to win the third quarter by 6 points, heading into the fourth down 4 points. This ended up being enough to wake up Monaco, that was finally able to play some defense, only allowing Asvel 12 points in the fourth quarter, claiming the 12-point win. For Monaco, the best player and the MVP of this game was Diallo, with 12 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal and 1 block, doing a bit of everything, and being a must-needed spark for the team on this game. Lloyd scored 19 points, while Opsa Soha scored 11 points, grabbed 2 rebounds, and had 4 assists for Asvel. With this loss, Asvel are now 17 in the standings, being above only Alba. These two teams have been struggling during the competition, and raising some questions between media and the fans if they belong. Both teams are in interesting situations, with Alba being an important team for the EuroLeague because Berlin being an important city for the competition. Obviously, in an EuroLeague that is trying to grow and trying to become a big competition, having key cities across Europe and having markets that are big are very important for the success of this expansion, or the expansion or potential expansion, the growth of the natural growth of the competition itself. So I believe that there will be an effort to keep a team like Alba during the years, and to help them and see them growing. And for Asvel, there are several factors, like Tony Parker owning the team, but the team have been showing some management issues. Coaching-wise, there are some very big question marks about what team is doing and the product of basketball and the brand of basketball they are taking to the court. It will be something to monitor and to see how it evolves heading into the next editions of the EuroLeague. We cannot really expect these two teams to perform at the level of the other 16 for the rest of the season. On the completely opposite side, we have Monaco. They are currently in fourth place with 15 wins and 9 losses. They are contenders to win this this edition of the EuroLeague, and they are certainly in a position to try to secure home court advantage for the playoffs. Monaco has been playing a very good brand of basketball, a lot of guard play, a lot of very good offensive performances, and they have the pieces to play it in both sides of the game. I honestly think that they will be able to cause troubles to any team of this EuroLeague. I probably wouldn't have them as the ultimate favorites, but they will be up there. And stay tuned for our next episode, where we will be bringing you our power rankings and try to evaluate the value of these teams for what we have left, both of the regular season and also the playoffs. We will do a small deep dive onto what to expect from Monaco, and if they will be able to keep up what they have been building and doing during this season. But let's end this podcast in a very high note with a great game in Athens between Panathinaikos and Valencia. Valencia got the win, 92-91, and the MVP of the game was also the hero of the game, Chris Jones. Jones scored 24 points, grabbed 4 rebounds, dished 5 assists, and had 1 steal. Alexander also performed at a very high level for Valencia with 16 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 1 steal, and 2 blocks, while Goudiaitis stepping up for Papagiannis, that was a late scratch for the game with an injury, had 23 points, 10 rebounds and 1 block. Panathinaikos was up 7 points in the end of the first half. Valencia came into the third quarter very strongly, scoring 27 points. And down the stretch, we had Jones and Lee exchanging baskets and the teams exchanging constant leads. Jones scored the team last 11 points, including the magnificent buzzer beater winning shot from 3 points. On the Panathinaikos side, there were several players out for this game, including Papagiannis and Walters that were light scratches. It was interesting down the stretch to see that Bacon was struggling. He struggled during the whole second half and he wasn't being able to produce. Lee was able to step up and kept the team on the game. Another very positive note for Panathinaikos was the additions of Agravanis and Matt Thomas that had good performance on this game. Matt Thomas was able to be on the floor for them to close the game and gave good signs that he will be able to contribute and help the Panathinaikos team the rest of the season. While Panathinaikos is down on the standings in 16th place with 8 wins and 16 losses and probably too far to be able to climb all the way into the playoff contention. This was an extremely important win for Valencia after they have lost in their home court against Maccabi in the last round. Valencia is now in 8th place with 13 wins and 11 losses and is part of the 4-team ties that we have spoken sometimes during this podcast with Partizan, Baskonia and Zalgiris. Valencia is playing a very good brand of basketball and we expect them to keep competing at this high level and being one of the top contenders to make it to the playoffs. It was an excellent game and we couldn't have wished for a better one to end this round 2024 of the EuroLeague. This take us to the end of the podcast. Stay tuned. Next week we won't have EuroLeague games, but we will be bringing you a special episode Wednesday, probably by the end of the day, with our power rankings of the EuroLeague. And we also will be debating the MVP race and who are the top contenders to win this edition MVP. Thank you all for listening. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast. Also follow us on Twitter at Ethos EuroLeague. Stay tuned and see you guys soon.